We are in the lovely city of Juneau. I am looking outside and there is no rain falling. Room 124 at the Capitol. My name is Representative Anna Fairclough. I am co-chair along with Representative Gabriel Ledoux of Community and Regional Affairs. She is with me this afternoon, as well as Representative Johnson, Representative Salmon, and Representative Edgman. Before us this afternoon, I'm used to saying this morning, is House Bill 404. It's an act establishing an Alaska Renewable Energy Task Force. And I had requested this from co-chair Ledoux prior to us taking this bill up in Community and Regional Affairs. My hope is, as we've heard before, that two heads are better than one, three is better than two, four is better than three, and five is better than four. So the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about as a state many, many years the need for affordable energy throughout the state of Alaska. And renewable is sort of the icing on the top of that cake versus petroleum or petroleum products. And that is why I introduced HB 404, though it's fairly late in the session. And so my concern is that if I don't have bipartisan support as well as both houses, that the bill will languish. And it's not that I'm afraid to wait until next year should I be honored by my district to be returned to office, that I would not champion that again. I would. But the issue is that I think over the course of this next summer, it would behoove the legislature to look at some priority projects across our great state and in some way try to help move those through a process. And I haven't seen that happen before. And so, again, I'm a freshman and there are other freshmen joining me here today, but we also have some members who've been on the body for a while that might be able to help give me direction. For the body, Sarah Fisher Goad is also on the line from, I think it's from Alaska Energy Authority, for questions, and so she will be part of this discussion too. Is there any questions from those of you around the table today? Representative Edgman.
It, would it be appropriate to make a statement in support of House Bill 404?
Sir, this is going to be a working dialogue. If you just raise your hand, I'll notify you for the record so that the clerk can adequately record our conversation. This is not a Community and Regional Affairs meeting, but a working group that's getting together to talk about Alaska renewable energy and hopefully given some ideas that we might be able to modify the task force to gain support both in our body and the other. Representative Edgman.
Well, with those comments, I'd like to, of course, be on the record for supporting House Bill 404 and in strong support of the concept of having a task force that would ideally come back to the legislature at some point, perhaps as early as the start of session next year, with some recommendations and some guiding commentary that would serve to help us sort of narrow down this mysterious thing called a statewide energy plan and to maybe be the basis or the foundation for that to go forward either legislatively or, you know, whatever other source that it might need to go forward. You know, from my experience, everybody wants a statewide energy plan. Nobody knows what the heck it is, and nobody certainly is coordinating it. And I've talked to Sarah Fisher Goad about this, my office. Be careful about my Sarahs. And in my opinion is that I don't see, and I wouldn't use the word leadership, but I wouldn't say the overall effort to sort of bring all the disparate pieces together. And certainly there are a great many, a lot of people, a lot of organizations are on their own sort of tackling this issue of affordable energy for not just rural Alaska, but certainly for urban Alaska as well, because it's a statewide problem. And so it makes great sense to me to have, even if it were to be a smaller panel, not the 15 as we see in the present House Bill 404, but you know, even if it were three Senate members, three House members, or something like that, with a member appointed by the governor, something that would could be a sounding board for all these various entities to come through over the course of summer, and let's hear from the housing authorities, Alaska Energy Authority. I think, Madam Chairman, you recommended maybe having the Energy Authority come forward first. They would certainly have their energy coordinator on board for a matter of months at that point. And let's hear from all these disparate pieces and feed that into some kind of a findings and recommendations that we could bring back to the legislature that would be sort of the stepping off point or the platform for putting together some kind of a statewide energy plan, because absent that effort, who is out there doing it? I don't see anybody. And you know, I'll close by saying that energy in my neck of the woods, Southwest Alaska, is code red. It's the number one issue. And I would feel my comfort level would be a lot higher that we had some kind of ongoing effort and not just a campaign, if you will, to score points at people, but really to do substantive work that we could feed into the next legislature with surplus dollars on the table that we might be able to actually do something with.
Thank you, Representative Edgman. For the record, Representative Sistnes here. Representative Sistnes, this is fairly informal. It is a work session, per se. We're not taking public testimony. I've offered HB 404, and what I've asked is that Representative Edgman has adequately described several conversations that we've had. How, over the course of so many years, have we not gotten to a place where we actually have a statewide energy plan, and what components should be there? And so if you just raise your hand, I'll acknowledge you, but it's more of a dialogue. I'm not going to interrupt, and except for clarity for the clerk, if she looks at me so that she's not following. But I really would like a dialogue to see how we could make 404 something that would be worthy of this legislature trying to move through and pass, so that we did have an opportunity and some time to, as Representative Edgman has said, to look at some of these issues and make recommendations so that the legislature could take that first step forward in casting a net to start an energy plan. Representative Ledoux.
I am just wondering whether we have online members of all of these various organizations that are suggested as being part of this task force to see what they think of this idea.
Representative Ledoux, no. We contacted Sarah from AEA when I spoke with Representative Harris, who has the alternative energy bill out there for a funding source to deposit money into. They pointed me back, and that's why we're here today, too. I felt like I was getting some resistance from I really didn't speak to any individual finance committee members, but certainly Representative Harris's office expressed some frustration in that will we be able to accomplish something this year. And so I thought that if we brainstormed and found something that we could together agree to, that there might be a greater likelihood of moving something forward. But so noted. Sarah, are you online with us?
Yes, Madam Chair. I am here. Sarah Fisher Goad, Acting Executive Director of the Alaska Energy Authority, and I also have with me Peter Krimp, who is our Alternative Energy Program Director.
Sarah, could you and Peter give this working group, and again, for your knowledge, Representative Johnson, Representative Sistnes, Representative Salmon, Representative Edgen, Representative Edgman, Representative Ledoux, and myself, Representative Fairclough, are in the room, as well as some members of the public and our wonderful staff who are supporting us. Could you give us a brief description of what your mission is and some enlightenment on what you're doing to address what we're talking about?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I guess the Alaska Energy Authority, the mission is to reduce the cost of energy in Alaska. And as you're aware, that we primarily deal with electrical generation. And so there are other facets of energy that I know the legislature is concerned with cost, and that would be heating fuel and also transportation. One of our primary areas that we have been focusing on and working in particular with the Denali Commission has been through some RFP processes for the Energy Cost Reduction Program. We have just closed the fifth RFP and are in the process of evaluating those energy cost reduction proposals. And we've also just closed the first RFP specific to alternative energy programs or alternative energy projects. And for that RFP, we received $118 million worth of requests for projects. And we're just starting phase one of evaluating those projects. Out on the AEA webpage, there is a listing of the projects that have been submitted with a brief description of those projects. So I know the bill, House Bill 404 in particular, looks like it's in particular wanting to evaluate the costs and benefits of renewable energy. I did have a conversation with the Department of Natural Resources, Mr. Bob Swenson from DGGS, the state geologist, and one comment he had with respect to this bill is possibly expanding it to look at costs and benefits of energy and not just renewable energy. So that may be something that you may want to consider when you evaluate what you want House Bill 404 to do. So I guess the best thing is for Peter and I to answer questions with respect to some of the work that we are doing either in alternative energy. You are probably most aware of the energy infrastructure that we have been the construction that we do in our rural energy program for constructing bulk fuel tank farms and upgrades of power systems, primarily in rural Alaska with Denali Commission funds. This year we do have a energy projects appropriation request in the capital budget that does include $10 million of, I think, general fund dollars primarily for alternative energy work to match some federal programs that we have to fund either wind, biomass,
geothermal,
hydro projects. And in addition to that, there's a portion of those funds are to be used for some what we anticipate is some additional RFPs for some energy efficiency projects and some other alternative energy projects.
Thank you, Ms. Good. Representative Sistem?
Well, thank you, and I was happy to hear the last comment about the energy efficiency, and I guess that was the thing that I was wondering, because oftentimes we do it in the health field, and you're looking for new people, and you forget that you ought to be trying to keep the people you got, and you know, and that's oftentimes the truth with energy as well, that we've got it, and then a lot of times we waste the use of it, and then you haven't got it, and trying to maximize the usefulness of what we have is good too. So, I and then the other part of this is the I'm going to back up on that. That's my point. Yeah.
Thank you, Representative Sisto. Representative Edgman and Representative Johnson and I serve on the Resource Committee, and as a freshman legislature, one of my frustration has been that we see silo projects come forward, but there's really no fabric to say how we're addressing issues throughout Alaska. And so while I understand that one size does not fit all, I was trying to bring together people of like minds, people who want to see a system-wide plan for the cost benefits of energy. Ms. Goad, thank you very much. It is energy that I'm looking at. It's just one possibility in that energy plan needs to be a renewable or an alternative energy component, and I don't mean a small component, but something that's larger than we're looking at today. And so Representative Edgman and I have talked offline about his communities, and certainly serving on community and regional affairs, I've heard from smaller cities, tribes, villages throughout the Kuskokwim and different areas of the state that are just downright cold. And, you know, how do we meet those energy needs? And so I'd like to hear from committee members what they think about, instead of my approach. This was my approach, before the last hour dropped out of the legal department to come up with a task force to look at this. But since that time, Representative Edgman and I have spoken, and as I said, I felt like I was getting a bit of resistance from others that I spoke to about a task force. Now, one more task force to do one more report to accomplish what, and how will we move the ball actually forward? And so to that end, this was my first cut, but Representative Edgman and I talked about, would it be better to make the group smaller to actually try to move a package of recommendations together in the next legislative cycle, should we all again, be honored by our districts to be reelected to push something forward, should we try to do it just as a legislative body? I guess that, for those of you here, I guess that's my wonder, is that we're the appropriation body, but we keep sidestepping and letting other people do the work for us. And as we sidestep away from not engaging in that work product directly, when they bring the work product back to us, we challenge it, and we don't believe it. And so then they're those people that we've sent off on their way to do good work for us, but then we'll have opposition. And so I'm wondering if there's a way that we can collaborate so that there's not opposition when it gets back onto the floor, at least by a number of people that can be champions for the issue instead of one. Representative Edgman.
Well, I support the House Bill 404 and the notion that that maybe we can downsize this, maybe have all the meetings in Anchorage and have sort of all the entities come forward in Anchorage so that the fiscal note to this is as light as possible, certainly makes a lot of sense to me. But if I could, I would like to ask either Peter or Sarah what their thoughts are on a statewide energy plan and if they feel it would serve any purpose, given that they are soon to be, is it tomorrow or the next day, knowing who their new energy coordinator is going to be and be on their way with sort of their independence from ADA and so forth. But so can I get that response?
Absolutely. Ms. Goad, Mr. Krimp.
Thank you. I guess with respect to we're kind of covering a lot of territory here with respect to the planning that I think everybody understands the state needs to develop. I think there's kind of two aspects to the planning, is also to describe the policy in which the agency should follow with respect to the planning that you want done. And I guess I look at that as a process where what process do you want the agencies to follow with respect to investing in projects? And as we've mentioned before, our benefit cost analysis, we do look at life cycle savings when we're analyzing projects through the Energy Cost Reduction Program, and that is the anticipated direction that we would follow with the renewable energy or the alternative energy solicitation that we're looking at. This is also the same process that we'd anticipate using with the development on the House Bill 152 Advisory Committee, that if that bill shall pass and if that fund is capitalized, that would be a process that we think would be valid to bring forward to through either funding of the programs through that fund, and in addition to some of the other information and some of the other larger projects that we've been involved in. We have been involved in some planning projects, the Southeast project for the AKBC intertie, was kind of an analysis of what the economics on whether that project makes sense and what would need to be done in order for that project to make sense to go forward. We, of course, are involved in a study right now in the Rail Belt with respect to what the utilities that provide power to Rail Belt customers, with respect to what their organization should possibly look like and the scenarios for that in order to move forward. And, of course, we would be looking at, with the appointment of the new energy coordinator and AEA executive director, to be looking to that person to lead the effort on the statewide policy effort and planning that I think everybody understands needs to be done. I guess if that... Am I answering your questions with respect to at least where we think we would be going with this?
Representative Edgman?
Well, do you see the Alaska Energy Authority being the repository then of all the different efforts out there, the university, the private sector, certainly state agencies, federal agencies, utilities, you name it? Is AA going to be the one-stop shopping place then for everybody to kind of figure out what's going on?
Representative Edgman, this is Peter Krimp. One thought, let me get back to that question in just a moment. The one thing that we have found is that there is a large demand for developing alternative energy or renewable energy projects in the state. And it may be, you know, as Sarah mentioned, we had upwards of 90, 95 projects that were submitted. If billed out, they would be over, they would cost over $1 billion. They were pretty much equally distributed between rural, rail belt, and four and dam pool communities. Policies for a statewide energy plan may be best assessed by actually going through these projects, through the process we have for assessing them, looking at their economics, their other factors affecting viability, and then kind of seeing what sorts of common themes we see. For instance, one state policy factor may be, well, how much resource do you allocate to rural areas versus the four dam pool and rail belt areas? Another might be, does the legislature and the executive branch want to approach development sort of in a portfolio approach, this much wind, this much geothermal, this much biomass? Do we want to be just looking at the life cycle economics? Do we want to be looking at tying loads together through interties or gas lines, that kind of thing? In terms of that, with a new executive director coming on, we think AEA will want to be working with utilities and reaching out to others to answer some of these questions. And for instance, the task force or the advisory group within House Bill 152 that guides the development of alternative energy projects would likely be addressing some of those kinds of issues.
Representative Edgman.
And the assumption is that House Bill 152 is going to be passed and be capitalized. We're working on that assumption, but we don't know that that's fact at this point yet. I don't have a crystal ball any better than anybody else does.
Yeah.
But if House Bill 152 and the $250 million don't materialize, then, you know, where are we at, and are we a step closer to sort of figuring this whole thing out?
Representative Schmidt, I think that's an excellent point. We have three people in the queue, Representative Salmon, then Representative Ledoux, and then Representative Sista.
First of all, looking at the list of 15, when we think we're talking about renewable energy, it doesn't seem to be in line with what we're talking about. I mean, we're talking about Alaska Village Electric Co-op. There's, other than wind power and solar panels, I think we need to concentrate on the other source of energy, like, for example, the Yukon River. We have about 30 villages on that river that we could tap into the river source. And I think Eagle is starting a good start on it. I think this summer they're due to put a 75 kW river turbine in there. And, you know, I mean, things like that we need to look at. I mean, even if we have to use the river power for, you know, 5-6 months out of the year, I mean, that will be, you know, some relief for energy in those periods. So having this cumbersome, it's good to have the rest of the people in there, but, I mean, it's just, I mean, the board gets too big, and we'll be getting away from what we're really trying to achieve. That's, you know, my theory. It'll be good to use them for resources. But other than that, I think we ought to keep the group a lot smaller just for that purpose and just concentrate on renewable energy, not, you know, people burning diesel or, you know, gasoline or anything like that. I mean, we need to concentrate on that. And if you look at these people, I mean, you know, a lot of them are the biggest diesel users. So I think we need to. I think we need to concentrate that with a smaller group. I mean, you know, it'll be good to, you know, pick maybe university or something like, for, you know, a couple others, you know, that you know has expertise, you know. Other than that, for to keep it down. I think it'll be the task force will work more efficiently, and then we need to concentrate just that on renewable energy.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux.
I guess I'm just wondering, what sort of staffing are the sponsors envisioning on this?
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. We would use our own staff or the staff of the House or the Senate.
And just follow up on that? I mean, I guess I'm looking at B or a C, the things that the task force is supposed to do. Addressing existing research, consider types of energy development best suited, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That seems like such a really gargantuan task to be doing without staff, researchers, et cetera. And I mean, I think the idea of this task force is a well-intentioned one, but I'm not sure that doing it with, as Representative Edgemon was talking about, a light fiscal note really accomplishes what we want it to do. I mean, what we want it to do is almost a whole department.
Representative Ledoux, you are absolutely correct, but the ball has not moved in generations. And this is my attempt at throwing it out for discussion in a work session with people that have more experience than I do. The long-term goal, as Representative Edgemon and myself discussed, was how do we come up with and at least establish a framework for a statewide energy plan. And if we just go into individual projects, then we start fracturing our groups apart to say, you know, we need to get the Kuskokwim and use river power, or we need to do geothermal out in Unalaska, or in Anchorage we need to, you know, do a wind farm. That's not the purpose, and I totally respect all of the comments to see where the holes are at. Representative Ledoux.
Just one more follow-up here. Mm-hmm. I guess I'm wondering, because I don't have that much history, but we've had some task forces that I think have been pretty successful. I think the education task force this past summer, I think that really accomplished something. I think back in the day they had a salmon task force, and I think that ended up creating some legislation and doing stuff. And then there have been other task forces which have, you know, either not met at all, or when they've met, they've, you know, managed to put something down on paper and the paper never gets looked at. Does anybody have any idea as to why and what the circumstances are? If we could figure out why some of the task forces have been successful and others haven't been successful, that just might be worth cogitating about.
Thank you, Representative Ledoux. Representative Cisna.
On that note, speaking as a citizen activist, I can tell you that, you know, the reason that some things work and some things don't is the leadership in them. And that is it. I mean, that is one of the problems, I think, is that leadership is what makes it work. And does leadership need to come from one person? Well, you least need to have somebody who actually calls people together. That's kind of one of the key things, is you get people together. Yeah, I mean, that's it. That's one part. But just having, and we did for one bill in another committee, did legislative, the legislative research folks did a study on citizen boards. And what they said is, if you don't have all the stakeholders, then no matter what you do, you're going to get hit from the side when you get it to the floor. I mean, within the committee process, right? It can kill you if you left out some group that then gets really vocal. One of the things that really bugs me is that I've been going around now to communities and looking at health systems and their economics, and have wound up in the middle of nowhere, and then been there in the evening, and have gotten caught up going to the meeting that people were going to, some organizational meeting, and it's on a it's on the Polycom TV screen that's in some kind of not very fancy room, but you get a small group, and on the screen you're seeing groups of people throughout that region, and everybody's talking, and you're able to watch each other, and it feels like you're right with them, really, because the way Polycom works on that system is that the person who's speaking's face comes up in their life size. One of the serious problems we have in this state, I think, is that it's a huge state over a huge vast area, and it's different in every single region. It's grossly different, and the situations that people face, the challenges they face are different in each of those places. And I love the idea of this kind of thing personally. I think it's a great idea, but when we don't use the kind of technology, and we don't encourage other people to do that, and I think legislators do need to be involved with this. I do agree with that. But I think also you need to be getting those other voices in, so that not only are you looking at what each of the people on this group are thinking about, but how it's going to come at you from all the different directions that are going to happen in Alaska. And so that you do think about, you don't forget about the Yukon River. And you don't forget about what is happening in Ketchikan, what those people there know and have. And so I'd throw that out.
Representative Sisson, I think those are valid points, but again, to move the ball forward, I have a bill introduced, and I have co-sponsors, which I greatly support. And I like to do my homework, and I like to reach out and know where I'm going to get hit from the weeds on. And so the first thing I would ask you as the sponsor of the bill, if this bill were before you and you had to vote it yes or no in good conscience with investing state resources to accomplish a measurable outcome, would it be your recommendation as Representative Edgeman and I suggest, only have the state legislature involved and more of us going and asking to acquire the information first, versus having 15 people on a committee that you cut it down to either 8 with a representative from the administration or 6 with a representative from the administration. That's where I'm going first, because I am leaving on Wednesday. I want a CS to be written while I'm gone, and I'll be in contact with my office, but I'm trying to refine it so that it has a chance to see the light of day in finance. I'm hoping that that fellow team members or fellow committee members inside of Community Regional Affairs will not see reason to oppose it and have it sit in committee, but that could be the case too. Representative Edgeman?
To me, the issue of energy is now a life, safety, and health issue, and I don't see it recognized as such. It doesn't have its own department. It doesn't have any other sort of standing other than the state government that I'm aware of. You know, attempting to diminish Alaska Energy Authority or all the good work that they do. But I just jotted down a couple of quick things that this task force might be able to do. But before I read off my little note here, to respond to Representative Sisson's question about, or Representative Ledoux's, more specifically her question about what we could do to make this more successful, the first thing I would do is I would strip this bill down, and I would limit the scope of this energy task force. And I think my questions that I have written here is, you know, if we were to get all the entities to come to the table and respond to what is a statewide survey of energy, doing a statewide survey. I've got the resolution here from Alaska Power Association talking about urgent call for legislative action to put together a comprehensive statewide energy policy. Well, what the heck is a statewide energy policy, number one? Number two, what value would it provide to us as policymakers and certainly to the executive branch in terms of furthering the issue of energy as a critical step, not only towards keeping our residency intact, but also fostering economic development. You know, we're not going to have any industry out in the further reaches of the state of Alaska if we don't get viable energy sources. Yeah, so to me, there's a marriage between the government and the private sector. But, you know, task forces to me, and I sat through a number of the Salmon Task Force meetings, so and a lot of what they recommended didn't go forward, but some of what they did is in statute now, need to be limited in scope, and that this task force would have to realize it's not going to solve the problem, because this problem is going to be ongoing and it's going to be around for a long time. But if we could push the ball forward and set the stage for further development on a statewide energy plan, if that's what we need to do, I think the task force would be very successful.
Representative Johnson.
Oh, I have
thoughts.
I'm just listening. Oh, thoughts.
Yeah,
what
I know.
Think?
I know that you're listening, and I appreciate you coming.
I have trouble with the commission. One of the things is, as we've heard in hearing some of the bills that have gone before us, is we don't even know where we are in terms of capability, interconnectivity. And so I think one of the first things we need to know is what are our needs for the next few years? And not few, but multiple years. What do we need in 5? What do we need in 10? And what are the projected needs of energy into the future? And I don't think anyone has a clue. You know, a community or an individual utility, an individual village might know what they're going to need for a while. But as a state, I don't think anyone could tell me that in 10 years we're going to need to generate X amount of power. And until we kind of know where we need to be, it's a little bit difficult to find the roadmap to tell us how to get there. So I think one of the priorities we have to do is to, before we can come up with a plan, we need to know what the destination is. So I think a critical part of anything we do needs to be an assessment of where we are, an assessment of where we need to be, and then we draw the lines on how to get there. And we use all the resources, be it hydro, be it renewable, and then we plug those resources into the region that best fit those needs. And so I think the concept is good, but I support it wholeheartedly. But I think we have to know where we want to be in 50 years or 25 years. And once we know where we need to be in 25 years or 50 years, then we can say geothermal will fill 10%, wind will fill 10%, maybe diesel still fills 10%, hydro fills 50, and we can come up with a roadmap to get there. But until we have that assessment, and I think one of the primary tasks of any commission or committee or anything is we need to know what we're going to need 50 years from now. And once we know that, then we can sort of decide what's the best use of the resources, renewable. Maybe it's coal. But until we can fit everything into the puzzle, until we know what the puzzle looks like, we can't solve it.
Thank you. Representative Ledoux.
That makes sense to me, but who do we go to tell us what we need in 50 years?
If I might.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. The AEA is the group. The Energy Authority, they need to compile it. We have individual utilities doing it now. Anchorage, and that's I'll state that as an opinion. So that's my opinion. Someone needs to coordinate. Right now you've got Anchorage building one. You've got Fairbanks building one, and no one is charged with putting all of these assessments for the next 50 years together. And until we have an umbrella group, and maybe this is the group, maybe this is what it is, it brings all the studies from all of these independent places and individual places and rolls it all into one, and then someone's going to need to do maybe a rural assessment that's not being done. But that... there needs to be an umbrella group, and maybe it's not AEA, and maybe I misspoke, but they seem to be the people best positioned today. Doesn't mean they will be tomorrow or the next day or the new energy czar or whatever.
Representative Johnson, this is Peter Krimp again from AEA. I did want to note that AEA is planning to resume printing or producing with ICER the Alaska Energy Statistics publication, so that at least we know what our current prices and use of energy are statewide. And we would agree with you very strongly that this is basic information that's needed for planning, And then in terms of load forecast, well, that's another step.
Could you repeat the name of that study?
That will be Alaska Energy Statistics.
Madam Chairman.
Representative Johnson.
Peter, I understand that that's current usage. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
That is current usage.
Is there anything about projected usage in that, or is that something that we're just guessing at?
We'll need to. That's correct. We do not have that information in that publication. But part of any kind of planning, for instance, on the rail belt, will involve load forecasts. That is the electrical load forecast, but also heating load and other energy usage. That is something that some sort of projections can be made in, you know, a, I won't say comprehensive, probably the reasonable place to put those would be in regional plans, plans for, say, Northwest Alaska or the Rail Belt or Southeast.
Follow-up, Representative Johnson.
Thank you. I was just curious as to whether or not some of the individual utilities, you know, I don't know, for example, Cook Inlet, we have to worry about gas for the next 10 years or 5 years or 3 years, depending on who you're talking to. But is there anyone out there doing forecasting beyond 5-10 years that we could use as part of this, or at least a foundation to start, and so that we can be consistent? Is there anyone out there forecasting that far into the future?
I can't answer that for sure, but I believe as part of the integrated resource planning that Golden Valley Electric, Chugach Electric, some of the other rail belt utilities, Juno's Alaska Electric Light and Power, Sitka Power Department, they are all having to make some sorts of load forecast when they do their planning.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. And is that proprietary, or would they be willing to share that to mold it into a statewide energy forecast, energy needs forecast?
That I can't really tell you. I think it will depend on what the if the utility it'll depend on the utility. I do know that as part of the Rail Belt Energy Grid Authority planning, and probably the integrated planning that will someday follow that, there will need to be forecasts for the rail belt.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I think that you're right on, Representative Johnson, but again, as Peter says, it's been a silo approach to everything, where inside of Anchorage, the utilities in Anchorage have gotten together to say we're going to have a shortfall in supply of natural gas, and while Fairbanks is doing their own, we still don't see a collaborative effort to look at the state, and so then we're focused back in on more urban areas that have those resources, and the rural communities continue to languish without that thought. Representative Johnson.
Madam Chairman, this kind of goes to the question about what makes a successful commission, or however you want to call it. I think the Education Task Force was successful because there was urgency. I think the Salmon Task Force was successful because there was urgency. And until we have some type of assessment that affixes some urgency into solving the problem, that we are probably not going to... It's like the natural gas shortage in South Central. We've been hearing about it for 10 years. Now that it's upon us, people are starting to take action. So I think the urgency, and I think building that urgency is key to a successful whatever we end up terming this task force, commission, or whatever. And regardless of what the CS looks like, I think the assessment of where we're going and where we are need to be part of the findings at that end of the day report, then we can figure out how to get there.
Excellent point, Representative Johnson. Representative Cisna.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Okay, one of the real important questions here is, I think, who is it important to? We've got such a huge state that if you go to Representative Edgemond's district, you're going to find that whole district thinks it's an urgent problem right this second. It's been an urgent problem all this year. It's what's making the decision between who stays and who goes, and a lot of people are going. And there's numbers of places in this state where that actually is happening. This has actually been a source of discussion between my husband and I about what in the world is happening. What we know, one of the things that it seems to me, and you guys are going to have to weigh in on this, but to me, it does seem that we're at the end of the boom, or we're moving towards the end of the boom. And that in this state, we really haven't embraced the idea that we need to find sustainable energy, we need to find sustainable jobs that outlast the one principal thing that we've got that helps fund state government. And we also need to find more than one single source of energy that now is what is being used across the state, and yet you can't get it to every community. It isn't affordable. It's not sometimes really as useful as maybe other things might be, but we're not ready to look at those other things. So that's one of the reasons why I think it's very important to bring people into this across the state. And I think that it is true. We need to actually look at what is out there and really know what's out there. And a lot of times, it's only the representatives from those distant communities that really know it, and they can't tell us. We probably don't have enough time to have it explained to us exactly what it's like.
Thank you. Representative Salmon, did you have a comment?
Yes, I have a real short comment, especially with the representative sitting across from me. I think this, when you look at this bill, you say renewable energy. And I think that's what I think we should kind of concentrate the bill down to, renewable energy. And when we talk about natural gas, when we talk about diesel, gas, and stuff like that, you know, I don't think it's considered renewable energy, because once you get that bang, it's gone. So what this bill needs to do, I think, is concentrate more on renewable energy. And, you know, when you look at the interties between Anchorage and Fairbanks, they do have renewable energies, like the dams, you know. And if we set a certain goal that we need to, I mean, what are we looking, costs? Or are we looking for, you know, that's I think we need to bring it to a finer point, you know, what we're really looking at. I mean, I'm sure we could get statistics of what we need in the future and stuff like that, but, you know, which will help us in the long run. But do we have enough renewable energy to support that needs in the future, you know? I think that's what Mr. Johnson brought up, Representative Johnson. We need to see if we have enough renewable energy in the state to supply some of that needs. I mean, we're not going to supply all the needs, you know, because it's just the way, you know, things are nowadays. I mean, there's a lot of different varieties, different ways of getting energy, you know, from the sun, waves, you know, streams and stuff like that. So we just can't concentrate on all the items. We just need to concentrate on something that's renewable. That's what I thought the bill was about.
Any closing comments for those who attended today? Representative Edgman.
I'd like to add to what Representative Johnson was saying about creating the sense of urgency, and I think that's a good way to describe it. I wrote that down, and I was thinking of it really going back to the Education Task Force, also creating a sense of momentum as well, because, you know, where this thing was pared down and we had seven members, three Republicans, three Democrats, hopefully everybody gets reelected, they come back, you know, they've got skin in the game, they're invested in going into the future. But, you know, I'm still going to stand tall under my comments about the need to sort of take a macro look at this whole issue. And I just wrote down, Resource Development Council, NEA, Alaska Primary Healthcare Association, Alaska Native Health Board, State Wide Chamber of Commerce. I know various members of the transportation sector have all, and it's come across my desk, you know, we need a statewide energy plan. We need a statewide energy plan. Who is, you know, I mean, where do we start? I just don't see, you know. So, again, a limited scope, maybe being a sounding board, writing some kind of report that is a very preliminary first step in this whole conundrum that doesn't solve all the world's problems, but that just sort of gets the ball going and creates some political momentum in the 2009 session where we can go together as policymakers, perhaps in conjunction with the executive branch, perhaps separately, I don't know, but that allows us to take this holistic look that nobody else is doing right now. I think it would serve a valuable purpose.
Representative Edgemond, I appreciate your support. Thank you. Anything else? With that, I will work on a CS, and for those that have signed on, we'll let you either off or on, depending on what the new CS looks like. But I appreciate your input. Thank you for joining us. Sarah and Peter, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to participate in today's meeting.
It's our pleasure, Madam Chairman.
Thank you. With that, we're adjourned.